Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 463 of the Divine Intervention Podcasts. And in today's podcast, I'm going to be addressing a topic that's a little touchy, and it's a topic that's quite inflammatory. So I'm going to be talking about suicide in medicine. I'm going to be talking about suicide in medicine. So please, obviously, for a topic like this, I need to give a lot of caveats. First things first, I am not a mental health professional. That's the first thing I'm going to say. So please just be mindful. And again, this podcast is more for educational purposes, and it's not meant to help in clinical decision making. And then number three, I'm speaking based on my experiences, based on what I know about. Again, I'm largely trying to address healthcare professionals, but I imagine that the information in this podcast applies to many people. And number four, again, just try to keep an open mind. Don't like, oh, I'm going to hang Divine right after this. Again, I'm just really trying to help. I'm literally trying to help, because there are many, you hear this almost every week. There's almost always one person or the other committing suicide, either a med student. There are even the pre-meds that commit suicide that we don't even think about. We don't even mention on social media or in the public space. There are many residents. There's a lot of resident suicides. I will imagine that if a person did the math, it probably comes out to about high single digits or double digits of people that commit suicide in medicine every week. That's the truth. So, I want to kind of take a different approach today, you know, of not just talking about content, because again, I know that's the reason many people listen to my podcast, which makes sense, right? To listen and learn. But honestly, this may be a somewhat different kind of content. It may not be something that you may see on your USMLE exams, but it's something that definitely applies to everyone. So I would really encourage you, I would hope that you keep an open mind, pay attention to the lessons from this podcast. I feel like it's something that can really, really help you. Because again, many people, it's not everyone that, some people in their minds are like, oh, there's no way I can ever think about committing suicide. There's no way I will ever be pushed to committing suicide. Let me tell you this, many people that have committed suicide have probably said those exact same words until they finally succumb to suicide. So I would just encourage you to just keep an open mind, be humble about it, and learn. Because the thing is, even if you're not listening to this for you, you may use some of this information to support other people in the future. Honestly, I don't have all the answers, right? I certainly do not have all the answers. But again, I'm really hoping that you keep an open mind and pay attention to this. So we know what suicide is, right? You know, suicide is basically when a person takes their life. And there are many causes of suicide. There are many causes, right? Many times, suicide can be a result of a mental health problem, depression, anxiety. That's one thing that many times can cause suicide, right? You see a lot of people, they're very depressed. They feel very hopeless. They feel like there is nothing left in this world for them. And then they kill themselves. They take their lives. Or you see some people, they're very anxious. To be honest with you, medicine, especially with taking some of these USMLE exams and everything, very, very anxious situation. Very, very anxious situation. So these things can certainly drive a person to committing suicide. And, you know, I feel like many people can easily recognize why being anxious or being depressed can cause a person to go down that route. But there are other causes of suicide that I feel like don't get enough press, but they're actually kind of important. I'll talk about this whole feeling of emptiness. People feel empty. People feel empty. They feel like they have nothing to go off of. Let me tell you this. A person does not have to be depressed to feel empty and worthless. And honestly, one big driver of this thing is this social media age that we live in. Many times, if you go on social media, you'll see the glamorous lives of people. You see how glam, how amazing, how wonderful, how also awesome their lives are. And when you see stuff like that, you're like, man, what am I doing with my life? Man, I must be a real failure or something like that. You feel very empty on the inside. That emptiness, believe it or not, can drive a person to suicide. Another thing that can drive people to suicide is just comparisons. Again, we live in a world where people always love to compare themselves with each other. Like you see like med students, oh, they're always comparing their USMLE scores with others. They're always comparing this, oh, this is where I matched, oh, this is where you matched. It's almost like many things in life have become a popularity contest. And to be honest with you, many of these things you can end up tracing them right back to social media, right? Because again, people's lives are now in full public view. So one thing many people don't realize is that people's best lives are the things that you'll see online. The stuff that's really hurting, you don't necessarily see it online, right? Like when you watch YouTube shorts or whatever, is the very best version of people you're going to see. But do you want to tell me that that's how their lives are typically run? That's not true, right? That's not true. But you see people, they make these comparisons and then they feel like, man, this person is like this. I must be a failure. You see some people, they commit suicide because they feel like they're not as beautiful or as handsome as some other person, or they're not as wealthy as some other person, or they're failures, right? That thing certainly can drive people to suicide, right? And also, even amongst kids, to be honest with you, kids, like for example, for those of you that are parents, I'm telling you, you need to keep your eyes on your kids. There's all this bullying that goes on in school. This was a few years ago. I think I was still a pre-med student then, or either a pre-med student or just early med school. And I heard of a child, age 10, child killed himself. And what happened? He killed himself because he was being bullied at school, right? So you got to be careful about these things, right? So there are many situations that drive people to suicide. There are many, many situations that drive people to suicide. Burnout can drive a person to suicide. Because I'm telling you this, healthcare is almost like a badge of honor if you work yourself to the bone, which is, again, unfortunate. Again, we've pretty much propagated this lifestyle in healthcare for decades, for many generations. Like, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't work hard, because don't get me wrong, I've seen some very lazy people in my life as a person in healthcare. But burning people out is also a way that can drive people to suicide, right? Because you can work so much that you feel like, I can't take this anymore. You can work so much that you feel so much physical and emotional and psychological pain to where you feel like, you know what, I need to get myself out of this pain. And you think, okay, the way to get myself out of this pain is to commit suicide. That's another thing, right? And again, it's just really sad that in many residency environments, in many work environments, if you're a person that's kind of seeking after like, man, okay, man, it would be nice to have a 60-hour work week or something, you're looked at as the enemy. You're looked at as a weakling. But the thing is, all these people that are coming in taking care of patients every day, do you ever stop and think, what's actually going on in the lives of these people? What's literally actually going on in their own lives? Again, that's one thing that, again, many, many people kind of lose sight of, which is, again, really, really sad, really, 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 really unfortunate. Really, really sad, really, really unfortunate. Another thing, too, that I will say can also drive people to suicide is when they feel like they have no anchor. They feel like they have, like, no support system. They feel that they are not supported. That's the thing. And again, this is one of the things, one of the problems with this being worked to the bone mentality. When people are being worked to the bone, then they have no time to build or develop the relationships that they have with others. And when you're not building your relationships with others, you have no support system. I'm telling you this. Many med students ignore this, but I guess maybe I can even give you this as a pro tip for when you're trying to pick residency. Don't just look at location, location, location. Ask yourself, what location will give me the best support system? What residency program has a good support system in place? Many residency programs at orientation, the program director will always give you the buzzwords. Oh, we support our residents. We support our residents. But how many programs truly support their residents? To be honest with you, I've been in many places. And I know that more people talk about being supportive of their residents than there are people that actually do support their residents. So again, like when there is no support system, people get in trouble. People get in trouble. So I'm encouraging you, like, seek a support system and also be another person's support system. Be your brother's keeper. That's the truth. Be your brother's keeper. That's the truth. And let me tell you this. The fact that a person is smiling or the fact that a person seems well adjusted does not mean that they cannot commit suicide. That's one thing that many people lose sight of. They think that, oh, the people that are happy are the people that will never kill themselves. Or the people that are sad and withdrawn are definitely the people that will kill themselves. Yes, a person that is sad and withdrawn, that's probably kind of worrisome that, oh, this person may kill themselves. But I'm telling you, there are many people that on their face, they're smiling, but on the inside, they're dying. That's one thing that many people lose track of. The fact that a person is smiling on the outside does not mean that everything is well, right? Like, for example, I've actually seen this. I remember there was a famous actor. I want to try to, again, to resist this temptation to mention names in this podcast. But I know many of you know a famous actor. It was, you know, he took his life a few years ago. And this person was almost, I think, like a comedian, very happy person on the outside, very happy personality. But on the inside, you never knew what was going through this person's life. You're like, man, when I heard that this person committed suicide, I was shocked. I'm like, really? This person? Very happy, very jovial mentality. This person had everything. You would almost think, man, this person has everything going for them. And the person still took their lives. Right? Or let me even ask you this. The fact that a person is wealthy or the fact that a person has all the bells and whistles, does that mean that they cannot commit suicide? No, no. People can commit suicide. People can commit suicide even if they have everything. There are people that are multi-millionaires, that are billionaires, that have committed suicide. That's why the amount of stuff that you have or the pedigree that you have does not mean anything in terms of you not being susceptible to suicide, right? Or the fact that you matched at the best residency program. Oh, okay, I fulfilled my dreams. Does not mean that you may not be driven to commit suicide. The fact that you had the highest USMLE score does not mean. In fact, to be honest with you, sometimes, again, please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't shoot for success. You should always try to do the best that you can. You should always try to be the best that you can. But sometimes when people's lives are so wrapped up in their successes, when they achieve that success, they didn't feel like, man, there's nothing else to achieve. And then that feeling of emptiness comes and they kill themselves, right? So all those things can drive a person to suicide. I'm just trying to discuss these factors because sometimes you truly need to understand the problem so that you can solve it and solve it conclusively. That's the truth, right? You need to understand the problem. And really another thing that also drives people to suicide, and again, I'm trying to speak about medicine-specific factors, is this whole concept of competitiveness. The thing is, you can do well, you can do right, you can encourage people to be their best without being insanely competitive. That competitive mindset, I'm telling you, has driven many people to suicide. Because again, in competition, selfish ambitions hold sway. In competition, in fact, let me say this, in unhealthy competition, let me not use the term competition, because competition is good when it's healthy. But there's so much unhealthy competition in medicine. I'm telling you this, you see a lot of neuroticism amongst medical students, amongst residents, a lot of competition, right? And the thing is, once people see that you're at the top, they're trying every single thing they can to pull you down. They're literally trying every single thing that they can to pull you down. You see people, they know a person is doing good work, but they start bad-mouthing them in the presence of other people. To be honest with you, I've actually experienced some of this before. You see some people, they make it a point. Wow, this person is doing well. I'm going to badmouth them. I'm going to try to make other people not like them so that they can start fighting them. They can start warring against them. The thing is, you, the person that is doing stuff like that, you may be leading to the death of a person. And again, that person's blood is kind of on your head. in a sense. So I'm just encouraging you, like, don't be an evil person. Don't be a person that, oh, because a person is succeeding in a certain way, I need to find a way to destroy them. Many people these days are not happy about the successes of other people. It's sad, but it's true. I know some people may be like, no, Divine, there's no, I'm always happy when people succeed. I'm telling you, that belief, that mindset is in the minority. Many people these days are not happy when other people are successful, right? So they try to start working against them, start putting traps along their way to mess them up, right? Again, just be careful. You may, in your inadvertent actions, be leading a person to commit suicide. That's the truth, right? Medicine is a very competitive atmosphere these days, right? Look, oh, wow, this person got to this program, I did not. This person is in this medical school, I did not get in there. And you see them, they feel like failures, and then they end up killing themselves. They end up killing themselves, right? So now that I guess I've kind of talked about some of the causes of suicide, and again, I certainly have probably did not even scratch the surface in terms of the causes of suicide, I want to maybe talk about what are some practical things that can be done. What are some practical things that can be done to help you deal with suicide or to prevent, right? Because again, suicide is a huge problem. I'm telling you this, like, I literally have a personal experience. Like, I remember I was in college, and I used to sit at the front of the class. There was a very close buddy of mine, very, very close friend of mine. I used to sit in the front of the class with this person. We're both pre-med. I think we're both pre-meds, if I'm not mistaken. And I just noticed for a few days, this person just was not coming to school. The person was not showing up, was not showing up, was not showing up. I'm like, ah, what happened? And then it was one day I found out on Facebook that, man, this person took their lives. And I'm telling you, that was because honestly, like, I'd heard of suicide before, but that was like my first close experience with suicide. And I'm telling you, that was a harrowing experience. That thing really hit me hard because I'm like, wow, this person, like, I literally just days prior was chatting with this person, probably sharing jokes with this person. And then this person took their lives, right? That was one of my first hard, you know, like some of these things that kind of snaps you into the reality of life. That experience kind of snapped me into the reality of life. So that's just something you want to keep in mind as you go on. Like, suicide, I'm telling you, like, there's no, like, suicide can happen to anybody, right? It can happen to anybody. People can think that, man, it can never happen to me, until you're driven to a life circumstance that causes you to, like, man, I can't take this anymore. This is the end. I need to end my life right now, right? So suicide, again, affects many people. And I'm willing to bet that many people in medicine have at one point or the other in their lives had some kind of suicidal ideation. So what are some things that can help a person deal with suicidal thoughts? Or what are some things that can be done to prevent? Because to be honest with you, it's not often that a person just was completely fine with life, and then 5 minutes later, they're like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to end it all right now. Many times there's a process that kind of leads up to that. The first thing I'm going to say is, if you're having suicidal thoughts, or you feel like you're about to end your life, I'm telling you this, call a suicide hotline. Call a suicide hotline. There are people that are out there that truly want to help you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go through with it. I'm telling you this, you don't have to go through with it. It may look like that's the only option, but I promise you that is not the only option that exists. That is not the only option out there. It is not the only option out there. Just do a Google search. Just literally go on Google right now. Literally go on Google right now and type in suicide hotline. Type in suicide hotline. Literally, just literally call 988. That's literally all you need to do. Call 988. Call 988. Call 988. Please, you don't have to end it. You have a bright future ahead of you. It may not look like that now. It may not look like that now. But you have a bright future ahead of you. There are good things in your future. It may not look like it now. You may be going through a lot of adversity. You may be going through a lot of trials. You may be going through a lot of failures right now. But don't let those temporary the temporary circumstances you're going through right now make you proceed to making a decision that has very permanent consequences. Again, it may not seem like it now, but the future is going to be bright. The future is bright. It may not look like it now, but don't, your current circumstances, they have an expiry date. They are not permanent. They will not last forever. I've been in circumstances of my life where I'm like, man, when will this problem ever end? When will this problem ever end? But at some point, the problem came to an end. That's the truth. So I'll encourage you, just call 988. If you're feeling, there are literally people available every like 24 hours to help you, right? 247. Just give them a call. Just take that first step, right? Just take that first step. Now, the next thing I want to say is the next practical step I'll say is you need to come to an understanding that life involves tough circumstances. Life involves tough circumstances. The thing is, life will not always be a bed of roses. And this mindset is one thing that is literally destroying the present generation. This thought that everything should be easy, there should be no pain, there should be no suffering. No. Tough times will come. Tough times will come. Tough times will come. But you need to learn to be able to handle those tough times, right? Like in your journey to becoming a physician, in your journey as a medical student, there will be tough times. When I was a medical student, my work in residency, there were tough times. Tough times will come, but you can handle those tough times constructively. Tough times will come, but you can keep making progress. You can keep advancing through those tough times. Through those tough times. So you need to have that understanding, to be completely honest with you. Like you need to almost like accept it in your heart that, wait, things will not always be easy. Things will not always be calm. No, there will be tough times. 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 But again, I will encourage you, there will be tough times, but you can deal with those tough times. You can handle those tough times. Now, what is another thing that can help a person? Another thing that can really help a person is this lifestyle of being calm and patient. Being calm and patient. Being calm and patient. Again, we live in a dopamine-regulated world where you see many people, and again, these things are just attitudes that have been built up over time. People want things right now. People want things right here. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to be patient and wait for it. You know, there's this saying out there, this adage that says the patient dog eats the fattest bone. You need to learn to be patient. You need to learn to be calm. Because you see, sometimes people are like, this pain that I'm going through right now, it must end right now. It must end right now. So for that pain to end right now, suicide becomes the option. They're like, oh, if I just commit suicide, it's going to be the end of it. No, no, no. Right? The thing is, many times people are not willing to be patient. You need to learn to be calm and patient. To be honest with you, even in taking exams, be calm and patient. Be calm and patient. In going through tough life circumstances, be calm and be patient. That tough circumstance is not going to last forever. Many times when you're going through a tough situation, it looks like that tough situation will never end. But I promise you, it will end. Or you will get strategies, you'll devise a way to handle that problem and handle it effectively. So just keep that in mind. Be calm and patient when you're going through tough life circumstances. The next principle I want to discuss is this principle of not taking sudden actions. Don't take sudden actions. Don't take sudden actions. Don't take sudden actions. Don't take sudden actions. You see many people, they are going through like a temporary hiccup. And then they take permanent life decisions during those temporary hiccups. That's not a smart thing to do. Don't take permanent actions based on temporary circumstances. You see, for example, you just found out that, oh man, I failed a USMLE exam. The fact that you failed a USMLE exam, don't take a sudden action. In fact, to be honest with you, sometimes what you need to do is take a step back. Take a step back. Right? You don't have to solve that problem right now. You don't have to solve that problem right now. Take a step back. I'm telling you this, when emotions are running high, when you're feeling like these, when you're having these very intense feelings of despair, you need to go ahead and take a step away. Take a step back. Don't take permanent decisions right there and there. I'm telling you, if you take those permanent decisions right there and there, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. You literally can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Many people have made grave life mistakes, sometimes irreparable life mistakes, because they took an action when emotions were running high. Emotions of despair were running high, right? When they just felt like, man, I need to do something right now. No, you don't have to do something right now. You don't. You don't. Sometimes just be still, be calm, be quiet, and let things ride. To be honest with you, one of the statements I really love, sometimes I just think about it, is this too shall pass. Sometimes you just need to wait out the storm. The fact that there is a storm does not mean you have to do something right now. I'm telling you this, impulsive action has led people to make some very grave life mistakes. Impulsive action has led many people to make very grave life mistakes. Very grave life mistakes. And then another thing, principle I want to discuss is the importance of seeking help and support. Seek help and support. Seek help and support. Like, for example, for me, my family is a big support system for me. My family is a very, very big support system for me. Because many people run into this problem of, oh, once they get into medical school or once they get into residency, they just completely cut themselves off from their families. They don't call them for weeks. They don't call them for months. They don't go home for any family gatherings or anything like that. I'm telling you this, that family is a big support system for you. Do not ignore that support system. Don't ignore that support system, right? The thing is, some people be like, oh, but Divine, I don't have time for this. You know, my residency, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, let me tell you this. If something bad were to happen to you today, God forbid, and you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, who are the people that you really think will rally around you? Your residency program? Probably not. It's going to be that family that you have abandoned, right? It's going to be that family that you have abandoned. So to be honest with you, make time. Even if it's just 2 minutes in a day, make time and speak to your family. Make time and speak to your family. For me, another part of my support system is my church. You know, many of you that listen to this podcast, if you've even heard the, you know, divineinterventionpodcast.com, right? Yes, my name is Divine, but my name is actually Divine Favor, but that's a different conversation. But a big support system for me is my church, right? Regardless of how intense my schedule may be during the week, I try to go to church every Sunday. I make it a point to go to church every Sunday, and I go to church during the week, most weeks, right? My faith is a very important part of my support system. Going to church, hearing the word of God, right? My faith in God is a very, very big part of my support system. Because again, there are many times where I felt completely lost in life. And it's that faith that was my anchor in those circumstances. So have a support system. Have friends. What friend can you latch onto? Like, who is that person that you know that, wait, if I need to unburden, this is where I can go. You need to have a support system. You need to have a support system. That's very, very important. And let me tell you this. Online is not a support system. Online modes, they're not true support systems. That's one thing that many people lose sight of. It's almost like the more and more we've delved into social media, the more and more we've delved into these social media forms of communication, the more and more detached people have become. That's the truth. The more and more detached people have become. So try to seek true, real, substantial friendships. True, real, substantial, in-person friendships, right? All these online friendships, they are very shallow relationships. They're not the best kind of support system that there is. That's something I'm going to kind of encourage you to kind of keep in mind there. Now, another thing that's also going to be very helpful is to prevent emptiness. Prevent emptiness. How do you prevent emptiness? Be missional. This is something that I heard a few years ago. Be missional. Be missional. Like, literally, have a plan for your day. Have a plan for your life. Have a goal for your life that you're working towards. To be honest with you, this concept of, oh, I'm retiring. I'm not saying that you cannot retire from your work. But even if you retire from your mainstream work, you should have something that keeps you going every day. You should have something that keeps you going every day. Have something that keeps you going every day. Be missional. And not just missional, be varied. Don't let your entire life be wrapped up in medicine. I'm telling you this as someone that has literally been through that before, where all I do is completely wrapped up in the healthcare complex. No, no. You should have some variety in your life, right? Medicine should be a key part of your life, right? Because you're called to be a physician. But there are other things that should be key, a key part of your life, right? Things like, you know, your family. Your family is important. I'm sure you have hobbies. To be honest with you, some people don't realize this, but this, making this podcast, don't get me wrong, it's a ton of work, but it's actually a great way to unwind. I love taking care of patients. I love doing all those things. But to be honest with you, I also really love making these podcasts. I really love teaching. Teaching for me is not something it's something that is a calling for me. It's one of the ways that I keep myself going, to be honest with you. Like, I almost have like this, I'm sure there's a ton of dopamine being released in my brain as I make every podcast. I feel really good when I teach. I love teaching. I love helping people learn, right? So be missional, right? Be missional. And don't get your life wrapped up in one thing. Have some diversity in your life. I'm telling you this, one of the things that causes suicide amongst youths these days is that their entire lives are wrapped up in social media. There is no variety in their lives. Their entire lives are wrapped up in social media or in playing games online or in playing video games or whatever. I'm not saying that those things are bad, but you need to strike some kind of balance. You need to strike some kind of balance. Because you see people, when they are wrapped up in just one thing, they feel empty because there is no variety. There is no variety, right? So be missional. Have a plan. Have a goal, right? And don't let your life be completely wrapped up in one thing. Don't let your life be completely wrapped up in one thing. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is just rest. The importance of quality rest. Quality rest. Quality silence. That's one thing that many people don't give enough credit. Rest is very important. But you see some people, yes, don't get me wrong, you may have a very tough, intense schedule in residency, as a med student, but take time to get quality rest. Take time to do what? Get what? Quality rest. Rest. Many people do not rest, right? Or you see them after work, they get home and then they are spending hours and hours and hours on social media, on streaming services and whatnot. No, sometimes you need to put your phone down, go on airplane mode and sleep, get some rest, give your brain time to cool down. To be honest with you, again, many people that are listening to this podcast may be like, wow, Divine must really hate social media, must really hate streaming services. Yeah, to be honest with you, a lot of those things are pretty toxic. But sometimes you just want your mind to be quiet. You want to just turn out / tune out noise. To be honest with you, I will encourage you, if you have 2 hours free someday, 2 or 3 hours free, or you can even break this up and listen to it in 30-minute chunks, just go on YouTube and do a search for The Science of Silence. Do a YouTube search for The Science of Silence. That's actually a video series I watched a couple of months ago. I actually also played it amongst the youth in my church. I mean, people found it to be extremely helpful, right? There's so much noise in this world. All these notifications buzzing on your phone and everything, those things can drive a person off the wall. Sometimes you literally have to completely unplug from technology and just give your mind some quiet time. It's really, really good for the soul. It gives a certain kind of pleasure that very few things can give. Very few things can give. Now, the next thing I'm going to say, next principle I'm going to talk about is the importance of stability. Avoid volatility. Avoid extremes. Try to have a stable life. Try to, as much as possible, and the thing is, stability is something you can create. Try to have some level of balance in your life. Even the Bible talks about this, avoiding extremes. Don't be a person that is giving to an extreme life. Because if your life is consistently volatile like that, where you have some very high highs and some very low lows, I promise you, that's something that makes a person more susceptible to suicide. That's something that makes a person more susceptible to an unstable emotional state. Try to be as stable as possible. Don't pursue extremes, right? Try to be moderate. Try to be balanced. Try to be modest in things. That's the truth, right? Try to balance that. Okay, I'm not spending 12 hours of my day just peering at computers. No, like, you know what? I'm going to spend 4 or 5 hours a day on my computer. I'm going to spend like an hour watching Netflix. I'm going to spend like 2 hours in my relationship with God. I'm going to spend 3 hours hanging out with my friends. I'm going to spend 7 hours sleeping. I'm going to spend 30 minutes in nature, just taking a walk and helping my mental health. Right? I'm telling you, these things can help. Live a balanced life. Stop pursuing extremes. Whenever you go to the extremes of anything, you're setting yourself up again for a very unstable life and for a life that becomes more susceptible to taking some of these very permanent decisions like committing suicide. Now, the next one I want to speak on, and this one is extremely important, especially for people in medicine, is avoid the quest for materialism. Avoid the quest for materialism. Let me tell you this. The amount of stuff you have, your level of achievement does not give true happiness. Many people, their level of happiness is determined entirely by how well they do on their USMLE exams, by the ranking of the medical school they get into, by the ranking of the residency program they match into. Don't do that to yourself. I'm telling you this. Do not do that to yourself. Do not do that to yourself. Right? Even there's a verse of the Bible that says that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Many people are always chasing after stuff. Oh, I want to have more stuff. And to be honest with you, you know, I've not lived in the US all my life. I've actually lived in Nigeria for way longer than I've lived in the US. I lived in Nigeria for almost 20 years, right? And I've been able to compare the differences in livelihood between an impoverished country and a country that has many things, right? You see, many people, they have so much wealth. They have so much of everything, but they live very sad lives. But then you see people, they have very little, but man, they're very, very happy. Right? So what am I trying to say here? You need to learn to be content. Even if you don't match at the creme de la crop residency program, it doesn't mean that you've become a failure. Don't let your definition of success be something you saw on social media. Don't let your definition of success be something that you saw on YouTube or whatever. No, many people define their successes by, I went to this top three medical school for med school. Oh, I matched into the best residency program in this sunny part of America. No, that should not be your definition of success. It should not. Be content. Because I'm telling you, if you keep letting your definition of success be the stuff that you see out there, you're going to live an extremely miserable life. Right? Don't let your life be dictated by how much you have. Just be content. Be content. I'm telling you this. Even if you just have small, but be grateful for that small. Live a life of contentment. Live a life of thankfulness. In fact, journal. Like every day, make it a habit. Or at least frequently, write down the things you're thankful for. I'm telling you this. Some of the things that people are very discontent with here in the U.S., will be the answer to some people's prayers in Nigeria. That's the truth, right? Will be the answer to some people's prayers in Nigeria. But many people are very discontent because you think that, oh, since America has so many things, you have a healthcare system that works. Let me tell you this. I've lived in situations in my life where for 9 months, there was no electricity. Literally no electricity. I've lived in situations where for months on end, to have water to drink, to have water to bathe, I have to walk long distance to a well. From a deep well, draw some water, pour it into a bucket, make multiple trips so that my family can get showers, right? But you live in a country where you turn on the tap, it works. In fact, to be honest with you, when I moved to the US for the first time and I turned on the electricity, I'm like, man, this thing works. And then I noticed for days, the electricity didn't go out. I was like, are you serious? Right? So be grateful, be thankful. I'm telling you this, it's not the amount of stuff you have that matters. It's the constitution of the individual. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful. Even if things are not as great as you want them to be, but be content. Be thankful. I'm not saying this to say be content with mediocrity. No, you can shoot for better and better things, but be thankful. Be content. I'm telling you this, if people are content, because people always have this grass will be greener on the other side mentality. No, be content. If you're content, I promise you, you will have a much happier life. You literally have a much happier life. And then another thing I'm going to say is, don't be a person, like, avoid, I don't know how to put this principle, but okay, maybe let me just describe it. Or let me just maybe state it like this. Avoid dopamine hits. Avoid dopamine hits. The thing is, many people's lives are now ruled by dopamine. Like, literally, they want these short bursts of excitement, right? There's a reason, right? Like, there's this documentary I watched a few years ago, or probably a few months ago, called The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It's a great documentary, right? And many people in this documentary report that created things like Facebook or the like button and whatnot. And they make comments on how these things are designed to drive addiction, right? Things are designed to drive addiction. You see some people, their brains are completely dopamine regulated. They literally cannot drop their phones for an hour and focus and concentrate, right? All those buzzes, boom, 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 that you see on their phones, those things are designed with intent. Because that constant, oh, you see that notification, you see that like, you see that retweet, you see that this, you see that thing. It releases small microscopic amounts of dopamine in your brain, right? Over time, if your brain is trained like that, you will then basically live a life that is accustomed to, I must get stimulated every time. I must get stimulated every time. To be honest with you, that training raises an unstable mind, right? I believe there are studies out there that have shown that with the propagation of social media, there's also been a propagation of mental health challenges amongst youths, right? So I will encourage you, don't be a person that is dopamine regulated, right? Let me tell you this, stop seeking these shallow life experiences, those things that just give you a quick hit, a quick hit. It's almost like a digital drug, like a digital addiction. Right? Oh, you must get this hit. You must get your fix. Oh, you must go to your dealer, one of these social media channels, to get your fix. No, that shouldn't be your life. I'm telling you this, your life will be shallow and you are literally damaging your mental health doing that. Again, am I saying this to say that social media is bad? No. If used responsibly, right? That's why you see many people these days, they don't seek out substantial things in life. Because their minds have been trained to seek this constant notification, this little doses all the time of mental stimulation, they never enjoy anything of substance. They never enjoy anything of substance. So their lives are always like highs, lows, highs, lows, highs, lows, highs, lows. There's no level or measure of stability, right? Seek out substantial things. Seek out substantial things, because it's almost like it has trained people's minds, because they're like, wow, I'm getting this instant gratification. Then people do not learn the importance of delaying gratification to get something good. People are not willing to work long term on things to get the good final reward. People are not willing to go through some tough times and some adversity to get the good final reward in the end, right? So I'm encouraging you today, seek out substance. Don't seek out these quick hits, because these quick hits, yes, they are. It's almost like the difference between like fast food and home cooked food. Home cooked food, it takes time to prepare, but it's just more nourishing, is a lot healthier for you than the stuff you get. Oh, just drive through, pick it up, boom, be on your way. Yes, it may be quick. You may get this great feeling for a few minutes, but you're going to feel hungry right afterwards. Right. So again, don't be a dopamine regulated human. That's one thing I'm going to try to say. Right. And again, a person's age, because I want to go ahead and wrap this up. A person's age does not determine if they will commit suicide or not. Right. There are many people that are old. Right. That commit suicide. In fact, right. Elderly white males, I think they're the highest risk group for committing suicide. Right. They're the highest risk group for committing suicide. Right. So again, because suicide is a very final thing. Right. It's a very final thing. And I'm telling you this, the person committing suicide is dealing with a lot of pain, but the people that you're leaving behind are also going to deal with just untold amounts of pain. I was reading a story yesterday about a person where the person's wife committed suicide. How do you expect the wife, how do you expect that person and the kids to be afterwards? That's going to be like a permanent scar in their hearts, right? So I'm just really, again, hoping that this podcast drums up conversation on this topic, because again, I feel like this is something that we just ignore in many circles that they should be discussing. We ignore this stuff in many circles that they should be discussing. So please, I'm just encouraging you, support other people, be your brother's keeper. Literally, Be your brother's keeper. Be your brother's keeper. Because again, I'm telling you this, many people have lost their lives, right? Any day that a person loses their life because of suicide is a sad day. It's a sad day, right? It's a sad day. And for people in residency programs, if you're a program director that's listening to this, if you're an attending that's listening to this, if you're a resident that's listening to this, create a good environment for the people around you. Create a non-toxic environment, right? Many times when you read about resident suicides and you hear about the state of those residency programs they're in, you'll be like, wow, it's not a shocker that this person drove themselves to committing suicide, because you've created a very, very toxic work environment. You've created like a crazy competitive work environment. You've created a very judgmental environment. You've created an environment where people feel like they're failures, where people feel like they're walking on eggshells every single moment. No. What is your glory if people feel like they're walking on eggshells every time? That is not a good thing to do. And to be honest with you, many hospitals do this, especially to IMGs, international medical graduates. They try to create an uncomfortable environment because they know that, oh, this person knows if they screw up, well, there goes their visa, they're going back to their home country. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be your brother's keeper. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't be an evil person. Create a comfortable environment. Let people feel at home. I'm telling you this. If you create a situation or a circumstance or an environment where people feel at home, they will work more effectively. They won't be driven to making these kinds of permanent decisions. And let me tell you this. When people commit suicide, it reflects poorly on your program, right? So take care of your residents. I'm telling you, if you take good care of your residents, you're playing the long game. You're playing the long game. You'll be blessed yourself, and those people and their families will be blessed. If you have a happy resident, they will work hard. I'm telling you this, right? But if you're like, no, I must manipulate them, I must hold their feet to the fire. I'm telling you this, you're not raising quality people. You're not. There are certain disciplines that feel that, oh, we must put these people's feet to the fire. You don't have to do that. I'm telling you this. You can raise quality people without destroying them. Check some other countries in the world that don't have this hyper-competitive, that have medical systems, that don't have this hyper-competitive mindset. I want to tell you this. Many of those countries have far better educational systems and far better healthcare systems than what exists in the US. But you don't kill people while they're at it. Right. So again, I mean, I'm just encouraging you, like, create a good environment. It starts one person at a time. You that are a resident, treat your juniors with love and respect. Create a comfortable environment for them. Again, the fact that you're creating a comfortable environment does not mean that you cannot create a disciplined environment. You can discipline, but you can do it in love. So again, I really, really hope that people take this conversation to heart, because I'm telling you, it's really sad with the number of people that perish because of suicide every single day in the US, but especially in healthcare. So I really hope that this kind of drums up conversation. And again, I hope that people find this to be helpful. And again, these podcasts are on the major apps, as I conclude, on Apple, Google, and Spotify. I have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention USMLE Podcasts and Videos, where I post the videos that I make. And then I have another website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. There's actually an Apple podcast associated with it called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. And basically what I do is I upload two podcasts every week. In fact, I think I just uploaded episode 191. And from a biblical perspective, I address a life lesson. I just think, okay, what's a common problem affecting humanity? And then I try to address it from a biblical perspective. And then I offer review courses for all the USMLE exams. I offer a biostats class, a social sciences quality improvement class, an ethics class. I offer a test-taking strategies class. Many people have taken these classes and found them to be helpful. I also help with ERAS applications and with one-on-one tutoring. So if you're interested in any of these, I'll just shoot me an email and I'll point you in the right direction. So thank you for listening to me. Again, please be your brother's keeper. I guess think of this podcast as a big life lesson podcast. But again, please be your brother's keeper. It's really, really important. Please, let's support each other. We don't have to keep losing our healthcare workers to suicide. So until the next episode, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you, and bye for now. Thank you.